Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 124. Chapter 26 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Prickett asked Sukadev Goswami question 5.14 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 5.14, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.26.1. My dear sir, why are the living entities put into different material situations? Kindly explain this to me. Srila Sukadev Goswami answers this question throughout this chapter. Prickett Maharaj asked Sukadev Goswami question 5.15 of Srimad Bhagavatam from verse 5.26.4. My dear Lord, are the hellish regions outside the universe, within the covering of the universe, or in different planets, places on this planet? Srila Sukadev Goswami answers this question in verse 5. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 26th chapter describes how a sinful man goes to different hells, where he is punished in various ways by the assistance of Yamaraj. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.27, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karamani sarvasaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of activities, which are in actuality carried out by nature. Right? So the living entity thinks he's doing it, but actually nature's carrying it out. But because he identifies that he's doing it, the reaction goes to him.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're not even doing it, but you get the reaction. Yeah.
But if you don't identify, then it goes to the nature?
But nature is not doing anything wrong.
Somebody has to absorb their reaction.
But the point is it's only because you claim it's yours, then it's yours.
So it's just happening anyway, and you've got nothing to do with it.
No, not that. It's that you... They arrange what you want. And so because you identify with it, therefore you get the reaction. If you're doing it for Krishna, then there's no reaction. Like that. Because modes of nature is not, you know... It means the truck is rolling down the street. Is the truck doing something wrong? Right? No, but the driver thinks, I'm driving the truck. Therefore, if he parks in the wrong spot, he's in trouble, not the truck. You know what I'm saying? So that's it, yeah.
And unconsciously made simple...
No, but unconscious, that's the point. Humans are supposed to be conscious.
Like I step accidentally on a ant.
But why aren't you looking? I mean, ants aren't that small that we can't see them. I mean, if they're so small you can't see them, don't worry about them.
But you get the same, I mean, you get the same...
Yes, because you're stepping on the ant. You're not supposed to step on the ant. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah, so there may be so many things, but the point is you can always take it back, that we don't have to be involved. Yeah. Right? You can say, oh, you know, but it was too fast to stop, but why are you going that fast?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. So the whole point is we claim to be the controller and enjoyer. That's why we're involved.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If we don't claim to be the controller and enjoyer, we're not involved. Right? It means we're taking part, but we're only an instrument. Just like the elements that are there are instruments. Right? Does that make sense? The earth, water, fire, air, and ether that's involved doesn't get a problem, so why would we get a problem if we're also involved? Right? Does that make sense? But when we think that we're the one doing it, then you get the results. Yes.
So there's different levels of doing. It's very like, if you're going to do something for Krishna, you want to do it perfectly. So you put a lot of effort into it. If it's not succeeding, you put more effort into it. And
yes.
If you don't put much effort into it, then it's not going to succeed. And then what are you actually doing for Krishna? You can say you don't be attached to the result, but obviously there's some attachment to the result if you're doing it for Krishna because you want it to be perfect.
Yes, but what is I'm the doer have to do with that, what you're saying? You understand? What you're saying there, there's no I'm the doer.
Okay.
You understand? So that's why there's no reaction.
Your effort for Krishna has nothing to do with I'm the doer.
It shouldn't.
Right.
It shouldn't. So that part that is, that's where you get the reaction. Right, it's because of the understanding of Krishna or the affection for Krishna that we work harder to get a good result because it's for Him. That's our degree of devotion. Right, but what we're talking about is the interaction with the modes of nature. Is that we're not involved in the modes of nature when we're doing that. You understand? But the problem comes up is because karma means I want the result. That's why I work hard. Gyan means I don't want the result. I don't work. So that's where that confusion comes up. When in actuality is that we're trying to get the result for Krishna, so I'm still not the doer. But I'm taking part as an instrument the best I can. Like that. Because ultimately the result's up to Krishna. We don't determine the result. We work in a way to the best of our knowledge that will get a recommended result, but actually that result coming still up to Krishna. Is that cool? Mm-hmm. Okay. The foolish person thinks he is independent of any law. He thinks there is no God or regulative principle, and that he can do whatever he likes. Right? So means if there's God, there's regulation, because it's all going on according to laws of nature.
Yes.
So, well, we think, no, we can do whatever we want. Oh, we're devotees, we can do what we want. We're not this body, we can do what we want. You know, I am who I am, I can do what I want. You know, whatever is our reason for thinking I can do what I want. But the point is it goes back to where Krishna is. Means Krishna is the one who's actually in control. So, I can identify I am servant of Krishna.
Yes.
Right? And therefore, as a servant, make the endeavor. Then it works. See, this is the thing, is that this concept of individuality is not what we're used to. Right? We're used to individuality means I am my own person, I do what I want. Right? And so I don't follow others' rules. Right? But it means I am servant, so therefore I voluntarily take part in following the rules to get a benefit for someone else. So we're not really used to that, you know. That's the thing. It's new. You understand? So it's a combination that we're not accustomed to. That's why it doesn't make sense to us. You understand? Because otherwise, Krishna consciousness is really simple, really straightforward. That we get bewildered. You know? Okay, we figured that one out. Now let's say we shift the situation 1 degree over. Now it's a whole new thing. Yeah. Then we discuss that, then shift it again, half a degree. Oh, now let's go 2 degrees the other way. Oh, yeah. So that's the thing. It's the same thing. Because since time immemorial, we've been the supreme controller and enjoyer. And suddenly we're being told that the whole reason that we're suffering is because we're not the supreme controller and enjoyer. Okay. You know, but someone else is. And we have to assist or serve them. You know? Now it kind of like goes. And not only, okay, I serve God. No, you're going to serve the servant of God.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it never ends. You know, it never ends, you know. Hey, you know. Yeah, because I remember one time, a couple of times I've seen it. You know, you're talking about the servant of the servant, what is it, 1,000 times removed servant? And then someone said, I don't want to be all the way in the back. I want to be at the front. I mean, right up there with Krishna, you know, like that. You know, so there's always that problem. No, I want to be right there. You know, so that's the difficulty. So we don't see how it works. Because if it's transparent by media, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes.
philosophy or understanding the culture, or a combination?
It's probably a combination of both. It's most likely coming from the founding will be from the culture, like that. Because generally when we have doubts or misgivings, doubts generally means it doesn't logically make sense. Misgiving means I don't like it. So that will always come from a cultural thing like that. And so because the two go together means the culture is the expression of the philosophy is the definition of the culture. So they're inseparable, right? So from here, then you'll take the philosophy as the main, the culture as the secondary. In the spiritual world, it'll be the other way around, right? Because they're not doing it because of the philosophy. Vaikuntha, maybe, but in Braj, it's the rasa is the main point. So then, and even then, that rasa, that the expression of it, still the forms of it are secondary to the actual mood itself. You know, so it's always goes back to, once it gets to there, that's where it ends. But until we get there, then there's always going to be this primary and secondary aspects. You know, so that's why it's the cause of all causes, or the supreme person. I mean, and that's the point where, you know, the buck stops. You know, until that it keeps going, but at that point it stops. Okay, so that this whole point of not wanting to do what is recommended, that comes back to this point, is that we feel we're independent.
Yes.
So it's not actually that we're Westerners, it's not that, you know, we're not this body, you know, it's not any of these things, it's just I don't want to be subservient to someone else.
Yes.
And these are excuses,
yes.
Right? If I'm not this body, then definitely I can follow the rules. But we use, I'm not this body, I don't have to follow the rules. Right? You understand? Or, you know, we're not Indian, we don't have to follow those rules. But will we follow the Western rules? Yeah, generally. You know what I'm saying? We'll drive on the proper side of the street, we'll do all the things, and if you say, why are you doing this? You don't care, you're independent. No, you have to do these things. You understand? So all it is that it's just a matter of, we're using these things just to maintain independence. It has nothing to do with where we're from, who we are, all these different things. It's just, I want to be independent. I happen to be in this position, so I'll use arguments from this position to establish it. Right? So that's ultimately, it's not that. It's the ultimate thing is just not wanting to accept the Supreme Lord's laws. So because of that, that's then where for the materialist, then these, you know, how you say, unique situations that are described in this chapter then come into existence. Yes.
Because we don't want to do that, what will convince us? Because philosophy we hear, and because of the attachment we tend to forget.
Yes. So that's why now we're going to hear about the hellish planets, so we know where that attachment takes us. It's one of the methods.
What are the others?
Talking about how wonderful it is and how great and happy you'll be and millions of times greater happiness than we're getting now. And if we don't accept that, then it's okay, you don't like that. This is how much you're going to suffer. It's like, oh, okay.
Suddenly it doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah. So that's why it always said, it pleases Krishna, right? Then the next is, this is the right thing to do because this is how God's laws are, right?
Yeah.
You know, like that. Then if you do like this, then you'll be freed from material entanglement. You'll give up the suffering that's there. If that doesn't work, you do this, then there'll be all these nice material facilities. Things will go good for you. You don't do that, then you're going to run into miserable conditions. And if you don't like that, here's hell. So we have hell at one end and Krishna's pleasure at the other. And then whichever, wherever we fit in between or whatever combinations and... Yes, and so the scripture gives all that range. That's why we see, as we look at it from all these different angles. So now we've gotten down to this one.
Yeah.
Now we're at the other end of it. Krishna says there's one path, so there's him at one end and hell at the other. So this is the other end of the path. So now from here, it all looks up. Yeah. It's all looking good. Yeah. From here, everything's good, right? You know. So. Is that? Yeah. Yes.
Do you repent? Will change anything?
Will
repent. We change anything.
Will repent.
Yeah.
Repentance means that you understand it's wrong and there's some feeling towards it. Now, if you can maintain that understanding it's not correct, then it'll go. But if it's just otherwise, you always get the... We saw when, or not here, but in the temple class, then Hiranyakashipu and the family members when Hiranyaksha was died. So he's discussing Vedanta philosophy. All the family members understand Vedanta philosophy. These are demons, right? They understand it. But it's what the Shastra calls smarshan vairagya. It means the renunciation at the burning god. Is that at that point everybody understands, yes, material world's temporary, everyone has to die, this, that. So during that moment, everybody's feeling that way. Right? And so, through the ritual and all that. But when they finish and they go back and then they have, they go and they change their clothes and that, and then it's like kind of, have to go back to wherever they are, then it just disappears. You understand? So that's the thing, if you can maintain the understanding, that's where you get your benefit. It's not that you feel bad, it's just that you understand it shouldn't be done. Like that. So yes, repentance is the important thing. There has to be the determination, I won't do this, and the also feeling that it won't be bad. So feeling that it won't be bad is the first stage. You can understand it's wrong. But the second stage is the determination not to do that. So that, then you can say, then the problem is cleared. You understand? That's where Manu accepts that the result has actually been gained. Prayaschitta may or may not do that. Prayaschitta is there so that you become repentant and you become determined not to do it again. But if you do that without it, then technically prayaschitta is not important. That's where for Vaishnavas, prayaschitta doesn't rank high, at least from the Madhyamas on up. You know what I'm saying? It's not considered an important element. Right? Because the chanting of the holy name, that will purify. Because we're thinking, no, you did something wrong, you have to be purified by this. But how will it purify? Because who's done wrong? It's the soul. What's wrong with the soul? The consciousness. How does doing something that affects the body and subtle body change the consciousness? It's only if we do that. So the point is, the change of consciousness is what you want. Does that make sense? So that's why then the devotees use that system. We're not so big on prayaschitta. That's the next, basically the next chapters after this chapter is all about that. Right. So that's actually the process. So by association of devotees, by practice of Krishna consciousness, by hearing the philosophy and that's when we understand, okay, what I've done wrong before is not good, and now I'll be determined to follow what's recommended. That's the real path. The other one is just because it's a crowd pleaser. In actuality, Manu makes that point. All the price, just all those things, cutting off fingers and this and that, that's all just crowd pleasing stuff.
And we'll use it to not follow Manu.
Yeah, and then we'll say that to not follow, and we won't follow God's laws anyway. Because Manu is God's laws, so we'll throw out God's law. We'll use God's laws to throw out God's laws. So in other words, the Bengali saying, we'll sharpen the knife on the tree and then cut the tree with the knife. So to cut down the tree of, Vedic rules, we'll use the tree itself. It's like, what is it? I think there's another saying about you cut a branch from a tree and then connect that to the axe to cut down the tree. Yeah, so like that. Makes sense, yeah. Yes.
In that regard, there's a true story of a priest who for many years is listening to people coming to confess, and then after some time he realized the same people come back, confess about the same thing. When he met the devotees and he realized, he heard the philosophy and realized this is the only way for people to actually purify their hearts and stop committing the same
sins. Nice.
And he became a devotee.
Oh, okay. Is he still a priest, or?
He was still using the preaching in the church.
Okay.
This is a few years ago. I heard.
Okay, yeah. So I've heard about a couple of, another one, I think, one in Ireland. He practices, he does all his things, but he was chanting and would use the philosophy to explain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice.
Okay. Yes. The Eddish planet, there for living entity who have been human, and not following Vanashram Dharma means the two.
Means making some mistake somewhere, either grossly by not following at all, or you know, following most but one area. Yes, but you only will get punished for exactly where the infraction is.
Yes.
You won't be. It won't be. How you say? The Yamadutas do not apply this. I think what is it called? The circle of ten. You understand? The circle of ten. It's that Chinese law that, you know, Mr. X did something wrong. Right. So then you're going to kill Mr. X, right? Yeah. That's one. Then you're going to kill his wife, two. Then you're going to kill his three kids, three. Then you're going to kill his parents, four. Then you're going to kill his grandchildren, five. Like this, it just goes, there's nobody left. You know, even his dentist has been killed, right? You know, that's the circle of ten, like that. So they're not like that. It's what you've done wrong, that exactly. Like we heard that story about the man who nothing he did was proper. But one time, I think it was for either a Brahmin or a Vaishnava, he pointed out the correct direction for something. So he was in hell except for his finger. Like that. So he did something right with his finger, so that's not in hell. Everything else is. You know.
Just on this burning gap.
Smarshan Vairag.
Yeah. There was one devotee from Denmark. He was at a funeral for a family member who died of lung cancer.
Right.
And they were all there and speaking, and died too soon, and it's unfortunate, and what are we going to do? And then they go out of the church, and two of the family members light up. Just outside.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. And everybody else gets the benefit. Yes.
Isn't actually this independence, our tendency to be independent, the cause of how to be enjoyers and controllers?
Yes, that's the whole point. Because we see, it means, the point is we're going to be doing an activity, we're an individual, right? Then we'll be happy doing that. The point is the independence is the concept that I can do that not connected to Krishna. In other words, I can just manipulate the energy and get the same thing, right? Pastime with Krishna, people are manipulating the energy, getting the energy's transforming, getting a result, everybody's happy. So I could do that on my own. I don't need the Lord and his devotees, you know, to make that happen. But what's missed out is that happiness is coming from Krishna, not coming from the results of the manipulation. That's just something it's just a medium to express it. You know what I'm saying? It would be like as the wire is connected to the generator, there's electricity, so it's going through the wire. So we just get the wire that's not connected to the electricity, and we'll say, now I can do all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's like I think it was in, I'm not sure what it was, I think someone had come to Rome during the Roman period, and they had these taps in the wall that water came out of. And he was so impressed with that he, from one house, he took the tap to his own village, thinking that he'll just put it in the wall and he'll get water. Yeah, so it wasn't exactly clued into how it worked.
They probably laughed at him at the village when he...
Yeah. No, you're that or
the whole thing is built up and it's like,
yeah.
I don't know what's wrong.
Yeah. Maybe it's defective. Yeah. So that's the difficulty, is that we're thinking that it'll function outside Krishna. So everything else remains. But see, as we deal with each one of the things that is there in our world because of we think that that's what makes it happen. Right? So therefore, we talk about the attachments, the family, the relatives, the position in society, the wealth, the enjoyment, the senses, the thinking, all in a negative way, because we think that the only way to think, the only way to, you know, to engage the senses or have relationships is on the material platform. So we're not trying to get rid of those things. That's the mistake. We think, oh, okay, then we're talking about jnana. Okay, when we say all this family life, all the senses, that's all nonsense. Oh, okay, so we're talking jnana here. So yes, so then we don't want to do any of that. But then we talk, so therefore engage the senses. Well, wait a minute, we just said it's all nonsense. Right? This is Arjuna's first confusion. Right? Because we're not used to that there's karma, jnana, then there's bhakti. We think there's only karma and jnana. So generally, always the doubts we have are always stemming back to one of the two of these. Right? Is that what somebody said?
Just to take it a little bit further. So
okay.
Even now, chanting Hare Krishna, we say chanting Hare Krishna is the most important thing we do.
Right.
But if we are like too much insistent on this independence, then it's like very shaky position.
Yes, because it means you're doing both at once. You know, so you get a mixed result. You know, you go to the gym. You know, you do all the different things. You take all your power drinks. You do all your running at the same time as while you're out on your run, you stop in at McDonald's and you know, tank up. You know, so the thing is, it's a contradiction. So that's the whole point, is that, but of the two, one's real, one's an illusion. So that means Krishna consciousness can easily make it work.
Okay.
The problem is our attachment to the illusion. You know, it's like the candle is there in the stadium, it's producing light, but then we turn our back on the candle. You know, see, it's dark over there, like that, you know. That's the whole difficulty, is we get in the way of the process. Any difficult, but the point is, we're finding it difficult in Krishna consciousness, then we're accepting the difficulties that come in the material.
Yeah.
All we're trying to do is saying the opposite. You know, why tolerate relationships?
Good question.
Okay. I see. If we take that a step further, then there's 1 kilometer between houses.
That's
yeah.
Where I'm from.
Yeah, that's basically. You can see the underlying. Right? So the thing is we look at it as that, there's all this difference here, we'll get over that. In the spiritual world, there won't be these problems. But why won't there be those problems?
It's a common platform.
Common platform, but does that mean that everybody thinks the same? They all sit around there with their hands out. It's all for the common good. Like this, you know.
Resistance is futile.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You understand? They're all individuals, but it's because it's all about Krishna. Therefore, there's no mundane flavor. It actually is spiritual. While here, the difference in opinion, if it's not based on Shastra, is mundane. So the problem is not the difference of opinion. The problem is it's not about Krishna. We take it that the difference of opinion, so when you get the spiritual world, everyone will be the same, all have the same opinion. My opinion, of course, right? You know, like that. It's got to be my opinion, right?
It's not going to be like that.
Almost. Because you're going to associate with those who have a similar opinion.
Like-minded?
Yes.
So?
That's why we practice out here. We get used to, we get, yes, because there isn't anybody else, right? Yeah, okay. I say.
We all agree there should be 1 kilometer. That's
so, in other words, the philosophy of that part of the world is, I am an island.
In Denmark, you have several people who just live on an island. That's it. They live there.
They're the only ones there.
Especially one famous one. He's crazy. He'll shoot at you if you come close to his island.
I see.
So you have a sailboat, you have the cannon.
Everybody knows to go around.
Yeah. You kind of got to be careful with that guy.
he's like the true Dane.
He's the Acharya.
Yeah, he's the Acharya. Okay. You understand? So we're getting used to, we're being given all the things that they do in the spiritual world. But the point is we're doing those things based on someone else's opinion, not ours. So here we're used to our methods, everything are purely subjective, right? At the same time, due to ignorance, we'll claim that they're objective, right? Just to make it sound good. Well, on the spiritual platform, there everything is objective because it's all about Krishna. But it's an individual who does it. Right?
So there they say, okay, we're an objective, but you're not an individual, because the scientific experiment and that is exactly the same. So there's no uniqueness. But my method is supposedly unique. There it's the other way around. So when we say reflection, we mean reflection. So what is done here is done there. That's why it's a reflection. Right? You're wearing a blue shirt in the reflection, the shirt's blue. Right? Not that the blue shirt that you're wearing came from what's in the mirror. You know, it's not that you get up in the morning, peek in the mirror, and then you know, okay, that's what I'll wear today. Right? You know, when you're brushing your teeth, there's a blue shirt, so then after you take your bath and all, then you go put on a blue shirt. Does that make sense? So it comes from there. So this idea of working with like-minded individuals. Why? Because in the spiritual world, everyone being an individual, they have different moods in which they want to serve Krishna. So you associate with those who have a similar mood. Because it's about Krishna, Krishna being unlimited, they're all correct. But for us, this is what we want to do. We want to be involved because this is what we want to do. Does that make sense? So there is difference of nature and mentalities and positions and everything. But there it's all about Krishna. Their house is about Krishna. Their money is about Krishna. Their family is about Krishna. Their work is about Krishna. You know, so everything's about Krishna. So that's what we're trying to do here. That's why the culture is there, that this is what they do in the spiritual world. Right? It's given to us by the acharyas, so therefore we accept it. There may be unscrupulous individuals who think that they're so smart, and then they try to find holes in it, but why are they doing that? Because it benefits the soul? No, because it benefits the conditioning. That's all. It has nothing to do with anything spiritual. It's not intellectual. It's not smart. It's not spiritual. It's not progressive. It's not anything except for just a material consideration. There is nothing spiritual about it. Right? So that's the beauty. We're being given that simple lifestyle that they follow in the spiritual world. So that's what the Vedic culture is about, being given the opportunity to do what they do in the spiritual world. Since we want to go back to the spiritual world, therefore we associate with people who want to go back to the spiritual world. So that means it's based on the activities and values of those from the spiritual world. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, someone's into skiing, okay? And there's a magazine about skiing, okay? Who are the people writing the articles and doing the editing? Right?
Who cannot ski?
They're all people who are into skiing. Right? So we're talking about the spiritual world. So here's the literatures that are written and the document by people who are from there, or at least who value there. So that's the whole idea. So you associate with those that you want to be like. Does that make sense? You know. Otherwise, yes, one can go down and hang out at Marina Del Rey and get all the association you want. But you want to go back to Godhead, that's a totally different discussion. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Where's Marina Del Rey?
Southern California.
Okay. Got it.
I think, I'm not sure, is it off Santa Monica?
Yeah.
Huh? It's off Santa Monica.
Just in case.
So it's the right end. It's the proper end of town. You don't have to worry about that. It's good. Yeah, it's a good area town. You don't have to worry about anything. You know, okay. You know, so you can wear your watch.
Okay.
Okay. We were on. Okay. Now we're on the. Okay, thus he engages... Okay, let's see. The foolish person thinks he's independent of any law. He thinks there is no God or regulative principles and that he can do whatever he likes. Thus, he engages in different sinful activities, and as a result, he is put into different hellish conditions of life, hellish conditions life after life, to be punished by the laws of nature. It means you accept the laws, you don't get punished by the laws. You don't accept the laws, then they slap you around a bit. you know, like that.
The basic principle of his suffering is that he foolishly thinks himself independent, although he is strictly under the control of the laws of material nature. These laws act due to the influence of the three modes of nature. And therefore, each human being also works under the three different types of influence. According to how he acts, he suffers different reactions in his next life or in this life. Religious persons act differently from atheists, and therefore they suffer different reactions. Does that make sense? So, depending upon what mode you're in, those in the mode of goodness, their reactions are one thing. Passion's another. Ignorance is another. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that means ignorance they'll suffer the most. Goodness is the least. But still, yes. It's something. Yes. You know, it's just like the... Yes?
Yeah, the feeling is still the same because person in the mode of goodness is more sensitive than person in the mode of ignorance.
Yes, yes.
Because we've seen some people... You know, on the railway station, there is a bridge, you know, to cross.
Yes, yes.
They sleep during the summer, like now. They sleep on that. It's metal made.
Yes.
They sleep on that, like, seriously sleep.
During the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the train and the whole thing. And some people, you know, in their bed and with the AC on, they still, they can't sleep.
maybe you should get a metal bed and turn off the AC.
Yeah, and then heat it up from there.
Yeah, put, like that. Put in a sun lamp, you know. Do the maybe they're on to something. Yeah. There it means also they have no anxieties, so. But the point is the whole point is doesn't matter where you are. That's why it's mentioning these three. Because one would say, well, why is the religious person mentioned? Because still the religious person will suffer from the material energy. So that there's going to be obstacles, that's going to be there. And because these obstacles are coming from the material energy, there will be suffering. Now, if we see these obstacles in connection to Krishna, then they're not technically suffering.
Yes.
There's something to get around.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. So then it's just part of, you know, our service and connection with Krishna. So therefore, then it just becomes part of the variety as opposed to suffering. Right? Because as we said, suffering is a perception.
Yeah.
Right? That guy thinks it's a great place to sleep. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. But others, you know, don't think it's such a great place. Right? Now, he's probably already tried the middle of that bridge, and it didn't work, so that's why he sleeps on the side. Yeah. There's a good chance most people will walk around. Well, if he's in the middle, people don't notice. You know, he's... Does that work? Or?
Yeah, I'm just thinking what Madhuji mentioned about this, the obstacles in devotional service, because we're not attached, because it's for Krishna. We are attached, but also we are kind of renounced.
Yes.
So this is what makes the difference. And when it's for me, then we're really, you know, nervous.
Yes, yes. We're really nervous, and also that's when we suffer the most.
Yeah.
Well, as for Krishna, it's partial, but because we've gotten readjusted to what goes on here, this is nothing compared to outside. So therefore, then for us it seems very great, the suffering, when it's not actually.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the point is, so therefore, if we look at that, then what's the real thing to change? Because we can see as if you're in a gross situation or if you're in a subtle situation, the perception of happiness and distress is basically, the experience is the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then actually, if we look at that, what really has to change?
Consciousness.
Our consciousness. You understand? In other words, the obstacle will always be there. Because if you're, let's say, you're dealing with an individual, okay? That individual then has so that individual is there, but then you're in a situation. But how is that situation defined? Why is it there? Why is it transforming?
Because of Krishna.
Yes. But what's between that transformation and Krishna?
It's how we deal in this situation.
No, that's us. But now Krishna, the situation is there. That's what we're going to do with it. There's Krishna, and then there's the transformation of the situation. Why is it transforming? Krishna's desire, Krishna's mercy. But who's affecting it? Yes, and who's running that?
Super soul.
Super soul? Maya. Here is Maya, there is Yoga Maya. Right? In other words, it's a person.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Krishna's a person, we're a person, the situations are being arranged by a person, we're working with other persons, so it's all personal. The difference being, is it about Krishna or is it not? Because if it's about Krishna, then it's nice. That's why separation in the spiritual world, even though it appears to be not nice, it's actually the most nice. Well, here, separation is not nice. That's the whole point. You change the consciousness that is connected to Krishna, then all the things that here we say are a problem aren't a problem anymore. But it doesn't mean they go away. They're not a problem anymore. You understand? Because we have experience of that here. Right? You know, it's just like, okay, you have a problem. You're hungry. Right? Then you eat a meal and you're full, which is also technically a problem. But you consider that's not a problem. You know? Does that make sense? Or we'll say we have the same thing. You've had a very nice meal. You're very full. You're sitting comfortably in your armchair with the AC on and everything like that. It's not a problem. But now let's say the same thing comes up and then you find out that you have to immediately, you know, run off and go do some, you know, running around work, very physical. Now it's a problem. Right? You know what I'm saying? So the same thing can be not just depending upon how it's seen. So when it's connected to Krishna, it's technically not a problem anymore, even though the situation is the same. We're used to, from Gyan, that the situation changes from having variety into no variety at all. That's our idea of things don't go wrong. Everything's the same, whatever you feel or everything, it all happens. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that. It's still dealing with individuals, but it's all about Krishna. Therefore, it's not a problem. Like that. That's the whole thing, is that... So these hellish regions, because of the independence and not seeing it in connection to the Lord, therefore the material nature gives reactions, just so that we... Eventually the idea is that, okay, this path is not working. You know, that's the whole idea, is that our material endeavor isn't working, so that's why we should choose an alternative. But we see from the Acharyas, then liberation isn't an alternative either. So that means karma's not working, liberation's not an option, so that just leaves bhakti. You know? And then, you know, being pushed in that direction, when we say, okay, I'll practice bhakti, then the acharya says, oh, good choice. You know? But we ourselves, as an individual, have chosen that. Yeah, but it's not that the others haven't kind of...
Under pressure.
Yes. Because of without the pressure, we wouldn't do.
Yes.
Right? Because we see Arta, Atarti, Jigyasu, they're all under pressure. Yeah. And who's created the pressure? Them. Right? Themselves. Yeah. That's the whole thing. You know? So that's the... So you can say is we're self-sufficient in creating anxiety for ourselves. Because no matter what the situation is, even if it's good, we'll find something wrong just so we can grumble. Right? Does that make sense? You know, a kvetch, they're professional. They kvetch no matter where they are. Right?
Yeah.
Even you put them in the best situation, there's something wrong. Right? You know, so you get them in, let's say you have them there, they're on the first class seat and everything, you've arranged everything. And it's all so nice, but then they don't like sitting on the left side of the plane. They would rather be on the right side. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. If they were on the right, they'd rather be on the left. You know, so it's just, it's you know. So that's the problem. We're good at kvetching, right? You know, some more, some less. So the ones who are more, then we'll say, oh, what a kvetch, you know, like that. But the ones who are less, then, oh, yeah, no, they're okay.
They'll say about us.
Yeah.
that. These laws act due to the influence of the three modes. Okay, no, we already did. Sukadev Goswami describes the following 28 hells. Tamisra, under Tamisra, Raurava, Maharaurava, Kumbhipaka, Kalasutra, right? All these are famous names, right? Ashi, Patravana, Sukaramuka, Andakupa, Creamy Bojan. That's a real famous thing. Yeah. Ah, something to eat. Yeah. Sandamsa, Tapta Surmi, Vajra Kantaka, Salamali, Vaitarani, Puyoda, Prana Rodha, Vishasana, Labha Baksha, Shrama Meyadhana, Avichi, Ayapana, Kshara Kardama, Raksho Gana Bojana. Another Bojana place. Yeah, probably. Oh, you mean for the Rakshasas or something, yeah. You're invited to dinner. Right? Yeah. Sula Prokta, Danda Suka, Avata Nirodhana, Parya Vartana, and Suchimukha. A person who steals another's money, wife, or possessions is put into the hell known as Tamisra. A man who tricks someone and enjoys his wife is put into the extremely hellish condition known as under Tamisra. So you just take the person's wife, that's one thing. But if you trick him and take, then that's worse. Yeah. You know, so he trusts you, he thinks like that. The other one, you just come in and, you know, okay, this guy's not nice. But here you make it look like you're nice and then like that, so it's worse. A foolish person absorbed in the bodily concept of life who, on the basis of this principle, maintains himself or his wife and children by committing violence against other living entities, is put into the hell known as Raurava. There, the animals he killed take birth as creatures called Rurus and cause great suffering for him. Those who kill different animals and birds and then cook them are put by the agents of Yamaraj into the hell known as Kumbhipaka, where they are boiled in oil.
At least you're boiled in oil, right? So rather than if you're just steamed or something, you know, like that, you know, steam, no salt, you know, nothing. You know, at least you're deep fried, right? Yeah, you know. It's just, if you're going to go, at least you're going to go in a high class way, right? Okay.
That means you go around, so you go all the places.
If the shoe fits. We're not judging here. It just means that you go wherever these things are. Then you go to the next, yeah. So if you're supposed to be boiled in oil 1,000 times when you finish that, then you go over to the next one. You know, so I'm sure that there's an order or that, or whichever's most prominent, then you'll start there and then go down like that. So, huh? Yeah, yeah, no, it's, and these guys are managers, right? You know, yes.
For the devotees, there is no help.
Yes.
So why are we learning about this?
So that you know what it could be.
And devotees also commit things like that.
So they'll suffer.
In hell, which there's no hell for the devotees.
Could be preached.
It's like, okay, just like this. As for just a general comment, and then one can apply it anywhere he wants in the world, right? You know, you can expand from there. Do we have a devotee community in London? Yes or no?
Yes.
So Prabhupada said that's hell.
Oh.
So, like that. So you don't have to go down to these places to be in hell.
Oh, that's for sure. Those are, a bit more severe.
But the point is devotees, the similar kind of a reaction will be there. Whatever is the nature of this. In other words, don't steal anybody else's money, wife, or possessions. Devotees don't do that sometimes. So then they're going to get a reaction for that. It may not be down here where they're being, you know, how you say, you know, they get out the, how you say it, the Yamaduta sushi chef, and then he, you know, chops you up into little pieces and does stuff like that. But you know what I'm saying? But the reaction is there, so we know what are the things not to do. And we also just know how Krishna, his creation, he's complete. It has all the aspects. It has all the elements. Yes?
Also, the general religious belief of hell is eternal. One place.
Yes.
Is heaven or hell. That's it.
Yes.
One life. You
right.
go to heaven, you go to hell. That's right. the end of it.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, when you're discussing a philosophy with someone, you know, my mother had gave birth to several devotees,
yeah.
and when she was told about reincarnation, she cried. And she's a Christian. She cried. She had no idea that we had to come back again and again.
Right.
So for people like that, and she's a very, very pious lady, really
right.
lovely.
Right.
She would have learned that. It was very upsetting.
Right.
And then she asked more and more and more about, you know, heaven and hell and where
yes.
you go and what you do. So people want to understand the expansion,
okay.
the knowledge, not just clear-cut heaven.
Yeah.
You need to know about these things when you're speaking.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Where will we? Oh, okay. We're back on the cooking part. Okay. Those who kill different animals and birds, then cook them, are put in by the agents of Yamaraj into the hell known as Kumbhipaka, where they're boiled in oil. A person who kills a brahmana is put into the hell known as Kalasutra, where the land, perfectly level and made of copper, is as hot as an oven. The killer of a brahmin burns in that land for many years. One who does not follow scriptural injunctions, but who does everything whimsically or follows some rascal, is put into the hell known as Asi Patravana. A government official who poorly administers justice or who punishes an innocent man is taken by the assistance of Yamaraj to the hell known as Sukaramukha, where he is mercilessly beaten. God has given advanced consciousness to the human being. Therefore, he can feel the suffering and happiness of other living entities. God has given advanced consciousness to the human being. Therefore, he can feel the suffering and happiness of other living beings. The human being bereft of his consciousness, however, is prone to cause suffering for other living beings. The assistance of Yamaraj put such a person into the hell known as Andakupa, where he receives proper punishment from his victims. Right? Because Anda is like darkness. Like that. So he can't perceive of others' suffering and difficulties. Therefore, any person who does not receive or feed a guest properly, but who personally enjoys eating, is put into the hell known as Creamy Bojan. There, an unlimited number of worms and insects continuously bite him.
So not so good.
Yeah, so in other words, better to feed people than to feed someone today than to be bitten tomorrow. Right? Yeah. A thief is put into the hell known as Sandamsa. A person who has sexual relations with a woman who is not to be enjoyed is put into a hell known as Taptasurmi. A person who enjoys sexual relations with animals is put into the hell known as Vajrakanta Salamali. A person born into an aristocratic or highly placed family, but who does not act accordingly, is put into the hellish trench of blood, pus, and urine called the Vaitarani River. One who lives like an animal is put into the hell called Puyoda. A person who mercilessly kills animals in the forest, without sanction is put into the hell known as pranarodha. A person who kills animals in the name of religious sacrifice is put into the hell named Vishasana. Right? So one is without authority and then using the authority to kill the animals. But it's not about the sacrifice. Right? The man who forces his wife to drink his semen is put into the hell known as Lala Baksha. One who sets a fire or administers poison to kill someone is put into a hell known as Saran Mayadhana. A man who earns his livelihood by bearing false witness is put into the hell known as Avicii. A person addicted to drinking wine is put into the hell named Ayapana. One who violates etiquette by not showing proper respect to superiors is put into the hell known as Shara Kardama. A person who sacrifices human beings to Bhairava is put into the hell called Rakshogana Bhojana. A person who kills pet animals is put into the hell known as Sulaprota, right? Because this one thing is just animals. You go in, you don't have a relationship with them. So that's going to be one hell. Another is you have a relationship with them, so the animal actually trusts you and sees you as someone who takes care of them. Then you kill that animal, then that's a separate hell. Right, just like if you cause an injury to another person, that's one thing. But if you cause an injury to a friend, that's a different thing. That's considered a worse. Does that make sense? Yeah. A person who gives trouble to others is put into the hell known as Dandasuka. One who imprisons a living entity within a cave is put into the hell known as Avata Nirodhana. A person who shows unwarranted wrath towards a guest in his house is put into the hell called Paryavartana. A person maddened by possessing riches and thus deeply absorbed in thinking of how to collect money is put into the hell known as Suchimukha. After describing the hellish planets, Sugadeva Goswami describes how pious persons are elevated to the highest planetary system, where the demigods live, and how they then come back again to this earth when the results of their pious activities are finished. Finally, he describes the universal form of the Lord and glorifies the Lord's activities. Right, so all this will be coming from the universal form. Right, and so you do good work, you go up, you do bad work, you go down, but then you always come back here, and it's always controlled by the Lord's laws, his universal form. Yes?
You know, Jubala was saying that devotees, Yamaraj says that those who can't hear Krishna when he talks to these don't go to hell.
Yes.
But some of the things you read in there, I know devotees done.
Yes, so it just means that there'll be something that will, there'll be a reaction for it that is similar. Because the point is the hell creates a particular mentality. Right? So that'll be just done here. It'll be done here. You don't have to wait to go there. You know? But it's also, it's for how much is necessary to correct the mentality in devotional service. There it'll be just fully for whatever is done. You'll get a reaction. Like that. Even if you repent, the reaction is going to go on for however long it should. Well, here, if the devotee sees what's wrong, then it can stop. It doesn't have to continue. So, yes.
Maharaj, when devotees commit offenses during devotional service,
no, it's just it's not a matter of punishment. It's a matter of correcting the consciousness. So whatever has to correct consciousness. You understand? Because offenses, then, those are generally in deity worship. So that's another thing. But these are all, you can see, is all social things. Right? So if we're just engaged in the pancharatra position and worshiping the deity, we only have to really worry about that because everything else we'd be doing nicely. But as we expand out, and especially as we expand the concept of community and all that, then there's going to be the element to, then you have to use it properly. It's not that, okay, we establish communities. Now there's no, it means the temple has rules so we can make a community. It has no rules. No, the temple has pancharatric rules. The community has Vedic rules. Right? If you're just preaching and all that, that's the Bhagavat rules. If you're dealing in the temple and all the worship there, that's pancharatric rules. If you're dealing in community, it's Vedic rules. So then whatever combination. But the point is the idea is that, okay, we're freed from the temple, we're independent, we're a community, we're not controlled by the temple. It's all based on independence, and that's where the problem comes from. We think we're independent from God's laws. No, more laws apply. There's more laws that apply to a community than do to a temple. We'll think it's more applied to the temple. So therefore, someone in the community does something wrong, we take it lightly. Someone in the temple does something wrong, we take it very seriously. And if someone on the Bhagavad platform does something wrong, that's the end of the world. You know, we're really going to make an example here, right? You know what I'm saying? So we have it totally backwards because of the mode of ignorance. The most rules are there in a grihastha who's in a community. Yes. Than a grihastha in a temple, yes. And then there's less. Yes. Right? And a grihastha then preaching less than that. Yes. But then less than that will be the brahmacharis and the sannyasis. So we make it all, the grihasthas, you know, in the community, there's nothing there, and those who are the sannyasis, brahmacharis, and they have the most restriction. So where does that come from? That comes from us. That's not from Shastra. It's not from the Western culture. It's just from our own minds. You know what I'm saying? So we create our own religion, right? And then claim it's Krishna consciousness, but it's not. We'll use, that's what we said, we'll cut down a tree using the tree. So we'll use the Vedic rules to cut down the Vedic rules. Is that what I'm saying? So the point is that we're supposed to correct our consciousness, so whatever has to be done to correct that consciousness, then that will happen. Then that's what will happen. For devotees, it only has to be how much is necessary. For the karmis, it's how much they deserve. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes. It simply means that devotees don't need such a harsh...
No, they don't. They don't need. They should be finer consciousness that on a subtler level than they respond. But it's not that it doesn't seem difficult. Okay, Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 6, the mechanics of guna and karma. Verses 7 to 40, the 28 main hellish planets. So these are the main ones.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just other, you know, smaller ones.
You don't have to worry.
Yeah, yeah. It means everybody gets taken care of. I say, the Lord is all accommodating. Everybody has a place. But, you know. Verses 1 to 6, the mechanics of guna and karma. King Parikshit inquired, from Sukadev Goswami. My dear sir, why are the living entities put into different material situations? Kindly explain this to me. Sri Bhagavat Prasad Acharya comments, when Sukha said these are the courses of Pravritti Dharma, it's implied that the courses of Ardhama are different. As in the case of Pravritti Dharma, fruit of action performed according to scripture, the results of Ardhama, irreligious action, will also produce varied result. The king asks for this reason. Right? So why are they all in different situations? Because somebody follows Dharma, they get one set of results. Someone doesn't follow Dharma, the Adharma, they get a different set.
Yes.
Right? And even within Dharma, we saw all the different places where you could fall. Yes. The heavenly regions that you could go to, the earthly heavenly regions, or the lower heavenly regions, depending upon their consciousness, performing pious activities.
Yes.
Right? So we've discussed the results of pious activities, what you could get yourself, you know, from the earth on up to Brahma. And then what's below, you know, if you're not so God-conscious, right? Now, what if there's people who don't want to follow the Vedic system, right, who are interested in Adharma? What happens to them? So, the great sage Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, in this material world, there are three kinds of activities, those in the mode of goodness, those of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Because all people are influenced by the three modes of material nature, the results of their activities are also divided into three. One who acts in the mode of goodness is religious and happy. One who acts as passion achieves mixed misery and happiness. And one who acts under the influence of ignorance is always unhappy and lives like an animal. Because of the varying degrees to which the living entities are influenced by the different modes of nature, their destinations are also of different varieties. Right, so, what mode you're working under and to the intensity within that, what you do with that, that will then define where you go. Srila Sridhar Swami comments, the answer is given saying that even though the action done by different people is the same, because of the difference in the attitude of the persons, the fruits reaped are different.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's, the attitude is very important. Yes.
Mike, you mentioned the intensity, because usually we worry about the karma.
Yes.
But not as much as an intensity. Can you elaborate on the intensity? What's the part of the intensity?
The difference between, let's say, a chainsaw killing and the chainsaw massacre. No? So it's a difference in intensity.
Yeah.
You know, so volume is greater, your commitment to it is greater. You know, so it's an instant intensity. You know, how you say? not dealing with your worker so nicely because of his particular, religious background, or creating a elaborate kind of institution in which he, through work, can free himself from that particular. Okay. Yes.
This example makes more sense.
That makes sense. Okay. Have to match the nature.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So we all understood?
Yes.
No?
Arbeit macht frei.
Huh?
Arbeit macht frei.
You don't know that one?
Arbeit macht frei. Auschwitz.
Work will set you free. No?
Concentration.
How about Siberia? Does that work? You know, somebody does something wrong, then at 2:00 in the morning, then cars come up, they disappear, and the next place they are is in a resort, a little camp in Siberia where they'll spend the next 10 years. Or, does that make sense? We're just being nice. Does that make sense?
God, okay. Like it.
Yeah. Yes. Those who make resorts for others that are not necessarily good.
Because that was not private, that was from the government.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, because of various types of faith, various results appear. By faith in sattva guna, dharma arises, and from that, happiness for the performer. By faith influenced by rajas, a mixture of dharma and ardharma arise, and by them, there arises a mixture of happiness and distress. Right? So happiness will come from what is dharmic. Distress will come from that part that's not dharmic. Right? By faith influenced by tamas, a dharma only arises, and by that completely distress. Mm-hmm. So then when we have less distress, we call that happiness. And when there's more distress, we'll call that distress.
Yes.
Right? So the person in passion, there's actually some happiness, but there's also actually distress. And those in goodness, then it will be all the happiness. Though you may define that when it's more happiness, that's happiness. When it's less happiness, you'll say that that's distress.
Yes.
You understand? Yeah.
By degrees of those types of faith, there are degrees of happiness and distress. No one is always situated in sattva, nor is anyone always in rajas or tamas. Thus, all variety of destinations for all types of jivas arise, but at different times.
So something's prominent, so that will take the prominence, but these others are there, so there will be all these other aspects. So then it's just a matter of when they'll get around to all that. So someone's more pious, they may get that, but sometimes they'll get the reactions of those. People are more impious, they'll get that, but there's something they've done right, they'll get that reaction.
Yes, the faith you mentioned comes from knowledge.
Faith, well, either comes from knowledge or lack of knowledge. You have faith in knowledge, you have faith in not knowledge. Like, we're giving knowledge, but it's not that people necessarily have faith in it.
Yes.
Like we were discussing before, just the Varnashram. Yes. So some have faith in it, some don't have faith in it. Some have faith in it simply because it works better.
That's passion. That's why then there's mixed. There's those who don't reject it, so that's ignorance. So then there'll be, there's those who understand this is just God's law, so therefore that's the one to use. You know what I'm saying? So like that on everything. You know, do you know how important is cleanliness? You know, does that make sense? How important is nicely dealing with people? How, you know, like this. So what do we base it on? So that's what you go back to. What's your reason for it? Like if we say, no, but you have to be good, you have to be nice, you have to, you know, be a, you know, as part of the community, do everything right, cooperate with others, you know, like that, be friends, you know, all these different things. Okay. What? So then we say that. But it, as it mentioned here, is that the situations are the same, right? What was it? The answer is given that even though the action done by different people is the same, because of the difference in attitude of the persons, the fruits reaped are different. So one person does one thing, another person does the exact thing, they do something, they get it completely different. You know? I remember in one management meeting, it was actually very, you know, how you say, instructive, that there was something coming where the previous management, things weren't working right and all that. And so one of the managers is brought out and, you know, and he's saying, yes, this, that, I did this wrong, that wrong, you know, I'm useless, like that. And then the reaction was, so they were in one position, the reaction was, is the people who are running the meeting, then they say, well, you know, no, it's fine, it's okay, we want you to do this. And he actually ended up in a position higher than he was before. Right? Because of the mood and everything was nice. Right? So then, it was interesting, is because then somebody else who was in the meeting, they thought, wow, that worked pretty good. So then the next day at the meeting, then they also, yeah, you know, I'm so useless, I'm so this and all that. And then everybody says, well, if you think so, okay, see you later. And it's kind of like you walked out, what happened? I did exactly the same thing. One guy got elevated and I got tossed out. They were they were really, that affected them for years, actually. So the activity is the same. The action is the same. But because the attitude was different. The one who was sincere, the other was in a political move. And so they responded politically. Because the one dealt sincerely, they responded sincerely. Like that. So yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, the action is the same, but the mentality is what makes the difference. Right? So that's why you can have somebody performing an activity that's not recommended, but how you'll deal is different. Or someone's dealing something that's recommended, but the reaction will be different. Right? So that doesn't mean that we say, therefore, the rules aren't important. No, we just say the rules are important, but more important is the attitude. Okay? So, like we said, we go back. Okay, everybody's to live together and do nice and all that. What's their reason for it?
Enjoy.
To enjoy. So then that's passion. You know? And like, oh, these are my people, my family. That's ignorance. They said, no, these are the rules. We're supposed to, as human beings, cooperate, and these are the rules on which we're supposed to be. That's goodness. Krishna wants us to, then that's pure goodness. So that's the thing, is even though the idea of community is one thing, how it's viewed, you have these four different viewpoints. Does that make sense? So that's what makes the difference in the results that you get. Is that? Yes.
Well, sometimes we see that we can be right with the devotees. Right. Sometimes we also can be kind with the devotees.
Kind. Yes.
And one is a position of dharma, of duty, because we know what's right and what's wrong. And then kindness, it's a natural quality of the devotee. So, in which situation?
Well, what's the kindness for? That would also be then governed by this modes. Is it kindness due to sentiment? Is kindness due to, you know, that they could improve, they could develop? Is it kindness because of some material benefit? Because if you're kind to them, maybe they'll be kind to you.
Mm. Also, I want to feel good, you know, because I'm kind to people.
Yes, so then that will be a mixed. There'll be some mixed element there. But if it's kindness due to somebody's done something wrong, and so now how can we adjust that so that doesn't go on, and then be kind in that way, that's the natural, you know, Vaishnava way of dealing. You know, because you know what the standard is, how to get that standard. You know, what arrangements can we make to get that standard? Because it's a standard in consciousness, not in what's done. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it's just a matter of placement, where arrangement. Is that situation the right situation for them? They, in that situation, that's where they excel. But if something goes wrong, then they can have problems there. That's where they work. Or they're in that situation, it's not actually good for them, that's why there's a problem, therefore we may adjust the situation. Or it's the right situation, but how it is now, it'll cause a problem, so adjust the situation temporarily until they get the, you know, the strength in that to be able to then function in their own situation properly. You know, like that. Rather than they've done this wrong, which is an infraction in performance of activity, so there's going to be this result in activity that's going to correct the situation. So that is what is the, you know, mundane morality. Right? Is that the situation is going to correct it, rather than no, what we're having to correct is consciousness. So in other words, he's done something wrong, so there has to be, you know, how you say, a response in kind. As opposed to the consciousness is wrong, that's what has to be corrected.
We basically put karma higher than consciousness.
We put karma higher than consciousness. We put karma higher than bhakti. We say, oh, he can't be a devotee if he's done this. No, you can be a devotee and do that. That's why we're here. You know,
but the consciousness usually is very subtle. What we see, it's an external, it's karma.
We
can't say that this was his consciousness.
No, but that's why then those who would be able to do that, they should be involved. Mm-hmm. That's why justice is only carried about by those who have improved minds. Mm-hmm. You know, it means, in other words, you don't get a Doberman pincer to go out and, you know, enact the justice, you know. You know, you a fly lands on your head and you go like that to scratch it, the guy bites you in the throat. Right? You know, so you just don't do that. You're supposed to have those who mentally are improved. Only they can apply justice. They have to know the law, they have to this. It can't be based on modern morality, modern this and that, not within the Vaishnava society. If we foolishly think that they will, they'll simply destroy everything, because that's what they are. They only know how to bite, like that. So that's not the, we think they like that because we work on the platform of karma. Because of attachment, I do this, therefore it's good. So now the people who work in these areas like that, they're attached to that kind of justice. Therefore, that's why they're working. So their motive is purely mundane, though they're trying to dovetail in Krishna's service. But the problem is, because the motive is wrong, they're applying it will be wrong also. That's why then when Manu, there's a large amount of verses just on what is punishment, who can judge, who can deal punishment. And we see in both of them, if they're not educated and trained, they should not be doing it, because the destructive element of it will be far greater than themselves. They can say, oh, he made a mistake. Yeah, but he made a mistake. That mistake's going to affect him, his wife, his children, his business, his money, any of his friends that are close that identify with him, any other family members that identify him, any community that identifies with him. And you can say, oh no, we're devotees, that doesn't count. But then if we're devotees, it doesn't count. Why are we trying to use mundane methods? If we're devotees, it's just chant Hare Krishna. So we can't have the same person saying, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't follow the rules, but he did something wrong, therefore there's this whole mundane punishment. It has to be the same thing across. Right? Then you don't have to worry so much, because if it's all just chant Hare Krishna, then even the newest person can figure out, okay, how to, you know, improve the quality of the chanting or the situation. But when we fall back on our conditioning, so therefore we bring out the sense of retribution, that's when the problem comes in. Because if we want to be retributive in this way, then we have to be materially qualified. If we're going to use material means, you have to be materially qualified. You know, just like you give a class. Who's sincere, they can give a class, whether they're expert speaking or not. But now let's say we're driving a car. Is it just who's sincere? It has who has the skill. So since punishment is a mundane concept, you have to have someone who's materially qualified to do it. You know what I'm saying? And we're not very expert at finding materially qualified people because we don't know.
Yes. So can we say that Yogi Maharaj, he saw hell because at that moment he forgot about Krishna on the battlefield and he dropped on there?
Can say. It's just to show us that that's there. But in factuality, was he affected by the hell?
No.
No, so he was still transcendental. So you also see that aspect. He's transcendental, his relationship with his brothers don't change. So that his brothers were in hell, that didn't bother him. Other people would be, like a family relative is often, everybody, oh, I don't know that guy, you know? But here, it's no, he's willing to even stay there with him, to be with him. So it also proves is that if you do have family members, that you still try to give support. Doesn't mean you support what's wrong, but personally it's there. That's the thing, is that this distinction between the person and what's wrong are two different things.
Yeah, it's very difficult to separate.
It's very difficult. So we don't separate it and bring it down. The Vedic separates it and then takes it up. Like that. So only if someone's insistent on being in the lower consciousness, then you'll deal with them in that way. So for somebody who's totally mundane, you do apply just the regular prayaschitta on them. But for those, the Brahmins and the devotees, you don't. Because the actual point, as we mentioned, is remorse and the determination not to do it again. So, nowadays, in the New Age kind of thing, people want to see remorse. And remorse is a feeling, an emotion. It's not, remorse on demand. So it's just like, you happen to be there, you weren't there when they were remorseful, and now they'll try to bring up the situation to generate the remorse again, and then they'll feel peace in themselves that you are remorseful. No, if they were remorseful and people said, then you accept it. If you don't accept it, you're actually a sinful person. Because you're saying, no, until I see the remorse, then that's it. Then there's 7 billion people on the planet that want to see the remorse. So therefore, qualified people, they say it's there. But that's as far as we take it. Nobody's worried about, oh, he's determined not to do this again. And neither are they going to try to help them, because that means you have to be a person, deal with a person.
Yes.
And that's scary. No one wants to be a person dealing with people.
Yes.
So therefore, then that aspect of gyan comes in, that we, liberation is, I don't want to get emotional because there's a problem. But the point is no. You want to deal with people? They're people. They have feelings. You have to get involved in it. So that's the difficulty. You know. So liberals, it's the individual, and then everybody else doesn't matter. And the conservatives, is everybody matters, the individual doesn't. They both have a problem. But it's not that one's the solution for the other. If you have the one, therefore you switch to the other. No, the middle is, the group matters, the individual matters. That's the... Yes.
Because often it happens that when we're trying to be personal with somebody, then the other relationship which we value also, you know, affected, because these people, they don't agree how we deal.
Yes, so there you just have to, you have to then see which are higher principles. These relationships that are important, so then maybe you don't get involved in that. Because you also have that thing, is that you cannot be involved in something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Is that I'm not in a position to actually adjudicate this because of whatever.
Yeah.
And so let someone else do it.
And if we're already involved, we just pull out?
You just pull out. You just pull back. Because the point is, if those relationships that are affected are important relationships.
Yeah.
Then those relationships must be maintained. So it's just, it's not that the thing shouldn't be adjudicated, it just lets someone else do it. Right? Now, if you can educate others and this and that, great, if you can, but if you can't, then the point is maybe you can over the long run, but in this situation, it's too early. Maybe give it a few years and they'll look at it differently. But right now, this is how it is. So you have to balance these two. That's why there's different people can do.
Yeah.
You know. So it's you know, it's a very, very common thing. Yeah. Just like you don't give witness against somebody who's close, you don't also get involved in, if there's the same thing. You know. So it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, generally we only like to take it one way. You know. Oh, where were we? Okay. By degrees of those types of faith, there are different. There are degrees of happiness and distress. No one is always situated in Satvan, nor is anyone always in Rajas or Tamas. Thus, all variety of destinations for all types of jivas arrive, but at different times. So. Individual, so there's no one totally bad, and at the same time as on the material platform, there's no one totally good.
Yes.
Right? So that's the whole thing is yes, good people can do something wrong, and bad people, there can be something is okay. But it's not that it overwhelms the situation. You know, it's not that the good person did something bad, now he's totally bad, or the bad person did something good, now he's totally good. No. What's bad is dealt with is that. What's good is dealt with is that. So that has to be seen for what it is. Yes, this person is wrong, but in this aspect he's correct.
Yes.
So that has to be understood. Then you can get things to work properly.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi.